Here we go. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Stop goofing around. It's your turn, man. Come on.
I thought I heard the Technorama newscopter.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Technorama, episode 381 for August 21st, 2013. Netscape Navigator in G minor. I should do that in my NPR voice. Netscape Navigator in G minor. That's G major, you idiots!
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I'm looking for a yellow ribbon round an old oak tree.
Over there. In the media corner.
Couldn't do that without singing.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
And Julie.
And Julie. Welcome to Technorama for August 21st, 2013. This is the show that takes a lighter and look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, wow, are you in for something special?
No. I thought you were going to say, where have you been?
Thank you for joining us. If this is your, if you are a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi. This is my daughter, Julie, about to head off to college. And there in the other window is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm exhausted.
Exhausted. Why? What have you been doing to exhaust?
Well, some of you may have already heard through my podcast, but I don't mind troubleshooting, but I hate troubleshooting cars.
Oh, come on. They're just mechanical versions of other things. Like,
sure. Tell me how much you like troubleshooting cars.
I don't do it anymore. No. I used to do all kinds of car maintenance back when cars were simple.
Yeah. Well, I won't go into the whole detail. You can listen to it on my show, but I had to swap out the alternator and the belt. And
what's the name of that show and where can people find it?
Oh, it's Look What I Found, and you can find it at spindle.com, S-P-Y-N-D-L-E, which leads me into the next thing, the dog days of podcasting. There's a bunch of us, like what, 12, 13 of us?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot bigger than last year.
Yeah,
so there's about 13 of us that are podcasting daily throughout the month.
Sometimes more than daily.
Yeah, sometimes, if they get inspired. So you can actually listen to everybody over at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. You can subscribe and listen to everybody. That's my plug for the
Craig
show.
Craig registered the domain and everything. Got a Facebook page. It's awesome. He's gone full bore this year.
It's a lot of fun. Bore out a WordPress plugin, which I'll talk about later.
Coming up in this episode, we have setting up your dial internet preferences, the importance of clearing your cache, and how to hide your browser history. I recommend Under the Mattress.
It is by caffeine alone that I set my mind in motion. It is by the beans of Java that my thoughts acquire speed. The hands acquire shakes. The shakes become a warning. It is by caffeine alone that I set my mind in motion. I will not brew decaf. Decaf is the mind killer. Decaf brings the little sleep which leads to total oblivion. I will embrace my caffeine. I will brew my beverages and let them flow through me. When they are gone, only I will remain alert.
Hi, this is Dave Slusher from Evil Genius Chronicles, and you are listening to Technorama, because you're in the cool club.
Hey, and then the elephant just went everywhere.
Oh,
it was the craziest
that's
thing.
Gross.
I've seen it. Yeah, it was,
dude.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell that on the air again. Hey, what are you doing this Labor Day weekend?
I'm at Dragon Con.
I'm at DragonCon too. Craig and I will be at DragonCon. Julie won't be joining us this year. Oh, we need the sand trombone. With a tiny violin. Julie won't be there. We will be doing our live show. We've got our Friday spot back, 8:30 p.m. Craig had it at the Hilton 204. Unfortunately, it's 203. We moved next door. They moved the podcast room.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
right.
It is.
Wow.
We're right after Clinton does Comedy Forecast. So we want to see you there. If you're headed to Dragon Con, put Friday night on your schedule. I'm sure there will be lots of available seats.
Yeah. I bet we can get it to as many listeners as panelists this year.
I remember being standing room only last time.
Yeah, on stage.
Yeah,
like Julie said, we had many guests as panelists.
Yeah. Well, there were some people in there.
All right, we can do better this year.
Yeah.
What do you think, Julie? 5, 6 people in the audience this time?
I bet you could. I shoot for the stars. 10.
She's swinging for the fences. Crazy talk.
Mm, there you go.
10. We'd have to give away a prize or something.
Yeah, prize.
And we want to give a shout out to the chat room. I see Canuck2032 keeps coming in and out of here, so we'll give him credit. Big Scott just joined the room. We also have, of course, me and Craig, and Julie's never in there. You don't even have your laptop open.
No,
you're just going to read
I'm
off
just
the screen?
Gonna, yeah, it works.
Moocher.
She's winging it.
Moocher. We have Gru, Steve Rickyberg. He'll be at Dragon Con, so that's one. We have Mad Marv. That's two. Okay, we got two in the audience.
All right.
At least I hope they show up.
They usually better.
And we can keep Clinton tied to a chair, so that's three.
Hey, I PayPal them Mog money, so they should be there.
And Tim Elliott is in the chat room. So if you're coming, maybe...
If they can resist Dr. Horrible's sing-along, blog sing-along.
Well, we're competing with the Mythbusters just down the street.
No.
That's the problem. So we're always competing against something strong. I don't know what the heck is going on. Maybe we need
Maybe they just don't want us to show up at the really good stuff.
Maybe we need that Monday morning track. Nobody ever goes to those, right?
Yeah, we'll be all like hungover. Oh, what? What a great show. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you, everybody, for joining
us lights.
In the chat room. Hopefully we'll have more people in real life than we do in the chat room, but that's fun anyway. Want to give if you want to join us on the chat room and watching the show Friday Night Live. I'm all over the place. Sunday Night Live. We do the show every week. Sunday at 9:30 Eastern time. We love to see you there in the chat room. Love to just be there. You watch Twitter, Facebook. We'll send out the announcements. Happy birthday. We flip over to our birthday calendar. We have several birthdays on the 22nd.
You know what? I'm sorry. When you said that, I immediately thought of Frosty.
Happy birthday.
That's exactly what I thought of.
I'll put on a top hat next time. I'll borrow that from Justin Deal. On the 22nd, we have Zoidberg. Apparently, he was born in 1967. We have Kyle Slingo on the same day, and Alchemy Dragon, 25th. Happy birthday to Dave Grizzly Smith from Grizzly Growls Podcast. That's bear talk for thanks and happy birthday. The 27th, I don't remember putting this in, but this shows how long our birthday counter's been around. Happy birthday to Chuck's Forgotten iPod.
Well, it was forgotten.
Yeah, apparently this worked really well. This is my first iPod that's over there. My first gen. That got a dent in it.
It's not forgotten anymore.
It's not forgotten anymore. It lives on through the magic of the wiki. That's right. Yeah. And the 27th is also happy birthday to Mike Noble. Happy birthday to all of you people. And if your birthday is sometime in this week between the 27th and 28th, happy birthday to you too. We want to get your name on the birthday calendar. Go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'd love to hear from you. Get it out there. We've got history to cover. On this day in history for August 21st, 2013. This is August 21st, as I just mentioned. It's the 233rd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 132 days, oh my gosh, remaining in 2013. It was on this date in 1888 that the first successful adding machine in the United States is patented by William Seward Burroughs. That name should ring a bell.
Patented? And the same date in 1897, Oldsmobile, a brand of American automobiles, which is not around anymore, was founded.
Oldsmobile, which is what we used to call them.
Oldsmobile.
Physicist boat. Harry K. Doglin Jr. is fatally irradiated in a critical accident during an experiment with the Demon Corps at Los Alamos National Laboratory on this date in 1945.
We saw that on that show by John Noble, Dark Matters. Dark Matters. Yeah. Yeah, I just like...
I thought you were going to say the Hulk.
No, I like that name, the Demon Corps. That's just a great thing.
Yeah, it sounds nasty.
The Soviet Union successfully conducts a long-range test flight of the R-7 Semyorka, the first intercontinental ballistic missile on August 21st, 1957.
And exactly 20 years ago today, NASA loses contact with the Mars rover spacecraft.
Is this thing on? Rover? No. Rover? Mars Observer?
Observer.
Are you there? Hello?
Rover.
Happy birthday goes on this date to French scientist and engineer Hubert, or is it Hubert Gautier? I'm not good at my French name, so we'll claim. I think I got the second name close enough. Born on this date in 1660. Wow.
Also born on this date in 1665, French-Italian astronomer
Giacomo
F. Miraldi. Okay.
And also born is on August 21st, 1789, is the birthday of French mathematician Augustin Louis
Cauchy.
Another mathematician. This must be mathematician day. This time Hungarian.
It all adds up.
Andre Smirredi turns 73 today. Zemeredi.
It's you, Julie.
Okay, we'll go with that.
You.
Who's next?
Chilean mathematician and computer scientist Eric Goles turns 62. That's an easy name.
Craig, you can have the last one. I think everybody knows this one.
Yeah, and finally, Google co-founder Sergey Brin turns 40.
The big black 40.
40.
Happy birthday, wah, Sergey. Wah. What did you do by your 40th birthday, by the way? Oh, I founded Google. You're good. <Yeah. laughs> And that's the way it was on this day in history for August 21st, 2013. Take us away, music. Bump. Now Craig can match that.
He has mean. So that means...
I don't have to.
Yes, so you means... do, because it's only recorded on my end. No, on your end, well, on your side.
That's okay. I can handle
it. That's a drop and drag on that one.
So that means that I have 20 years to change the world?
Yeah, good luck with that. I certainly didn't leave my mark that big. Or as Steve Jobs would put it, make your dent in the universe.
Wait a minute, his birthday is coming up. Not that he didn't found it when he was 40.
No.
You know, I came up with a geek holiday today, and I might just celebrate it on August 18th or 21st, as this is recorded. We have to find a date. The day of the year when the gremlins twist all of your Christmas lights up. Because it happens sometime between when you put them away, which may be anywhere from the day after Christmas to 3 months later.
I thought you meant the gremlins from the movie.
No. There's the gremlins that steal your one sock from the laundry.
Yeah.
And there's gremlins that twist up cords. And I know this because they hit when you're not looking. I wrapped up an XLR cable and picked it up 30 seconds later, and it was all twisted and knotted. Like,
you know what? I've had that same kind of thing happen. No matter how nice and neat I try to put my wires under my desk.
Yes.
It's like you come back and it's like, man, how does this happen?
Exactly. So
what physics law is this?
I'm going to make a Hallmark holiday, you know, kind of like one of those just made up holidays, and we'll see how far it gets. There's one day in the year where
we'll sell gift. We'll say cards for this.
Sell cards. Yeah. E-cards.
Yeah. People can stay up late with gremlin traps.
And we can track the gremlin on NORAD's computer as he goes around the world twisting up cords.
Oh, I thought there were many of them.
I think, we have to come up with a whole mythology.
A common mythology.
Yes, it's a Scandinavian tradition.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Okay, here goes. 30,000 gremlins, all of them named Bjork. Okay.
They come and bjork up your cables pretty good.
Borkity bork.
Back when Thor's hammer got lost, apparently.
What was it? Ice demons, ice monsters, ice.
What?
With the.
From Hercules?
What? No, the. Odin promised no more ice giants. Ice giants.
Oh, that's what it is.
Ice giants. Oh, ice giants.
And
yep.
Slushies of the world were saddened. It's very bad news. Well, this isn't really bad news. I guess it's bad news if you're a web developer. Internet Explorer is now 18 years old.
Oh, great.
And they still haven't got the DOM right, haven't they?
You know, yeah, Internet Explorer. Yeah, if it can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. So let's move along.
Hey, IE9 is a nice attempt. It's better than the last ones, at least. Anyway, 18 years ago today, this would have been this past week, a team of 6 Microsoft programmers led by Thomas Reardon unveiled the first version of Internet Explorer, and there was much rejoicing.
Yeah.
One of the most widely used and hated web browsers of our time. So, Julie was asking, what did people use before that? And I said, well, there was Netscape Navigator, and there was NCSA Mosaic, and then you came up with the...
You know how... So... Usually, Internet Explorer or Safari, depending on if you have Windows or Mac, comes preloaded on. What if they didn't load? And then from there, you go to Firefox or Chrome. What if you didn't have Internet Explorer? How would you get the internet? Because you don't. How would you download the internet?
Wget.
It wasn't that easy back then. Or you use your AOL browser disk. Because that came with some crippled version.
A disk. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say a disk would be the... Well, I remember one time somebody gave me Netscape, you know, I was on a CD, and I installed it and went from there. But, yeah, Internet Explorer was on my machine. Even when I first got on, I think I had Windows for Workgroups, Windows for Workgroups just for a little bit. I know. And I remember installing a package from the ISP, and it did have Internet Explorer on it. I'm sorry, Netscape. No, it had Netscape at first. Yeah, it had Netscape.
Did you ever use Mosaic? But, Craig's not old enough.
No, I think...
I used it on PCs, Mac, and on Unix. That was my first browser. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about browsers and the humor behind that in a little bit. Here's other news. Archaeologists unearth pieces from a 5,000-year-old board game. This is really interesting because I see a four D4s
they
in here.
They gamed back then?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure what this game was.
They
you
have
know,
like three armadillos and four pigs, dogs.
I think there's a coprolite in there somewhere, too. If you know what that is, it's funny. Fossilized poop.
They were role-playing. That's
while excavating and... Right. I trade you 3 armadillos for 2 cannons. But they didn't have cannons back there. While excavating an ancient burial mound in Basarhöyük near Sirt in the southeast Turkey. My Turkish is a little bad. It's probably the worst of all my bad imitations. Archaeologists discovered a set of sculpted stones that may represent the earliest recorded game tokens. Some 49 small carved stones were unearthed by Turkish archaeologists excavating Bronze Age graves, reports Discovery News. They were sculpted in various shapes and painted in green.
So this means that somebody went to the grave with their board game.
Hey!
There's some people nowadays that would do that.
Yep.
What do you think they buried with Gary Gygax? Someone's going to dig him up someday.
Yeah. What was it they buried him with? Do you know? For serious?
Probably a Game Master sheet or something.
He has the little folder
the little divider thing.
Throw some dice in the coffin.
His coffin just has a little folder thing resting on top of it.
So you can't, yeah.
I'm going on the greatest adventure there is. No, he ran out of hit points.
He's going to meet the great dungeon master.
He just, don't worry, he can just make a new character.
Reincarnated.
I think that's pretty cool. Those are some interesting tokens and pieces and things, too. I kind of makes you wonder how it was played and what they played with. Then again, it could just be money. We don't know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that get misinterpreted like that. Craig, we're getting some serious latency.
Yeah, I know. I just saw something happening. I stopped it.
Okay, there you go. Now it's better.
Should be
better. I saw something happening and stopped it. One can only wonder.
He's a superhero.
Stop. I stopped packets. like Magneto.
Hey, I found out the way I'm going when I get to go see the great dungeon master in the sky.
Oh, yeah, what's that?
I'm going to have my ashes. Careful. Shot up in a rocket. Cut it out. Stop laughing at me. Going to have them shot up in a rocket because it only costs $2,000 now. That's actually about the price of a normal funeral, right?
Sure.
What are you going to do with your body when you die? I have actually considered donating to science, and then whatever they give back, then I'll incinerate it, then I'll shoot it up into space, right? Somebody can learn something by dissecting
me. You won't.
What?
You won't.
I can.
You won't be doing it.
You will have us do that.
Not necessarily. By the time we get all this robotics and automation, I could handle it all myself. It'll just scoop me up out of my bed, send me a put a prepackaged stamped envelope on, put me in a self-addressed stamp envelope to the local medical school. When they're done, they can cart me off to the incinerator. From there, it'll just robotically go on this conveyor belt line off to the rocket factory.
I thought you meant more along the lines of you're a head in a jar.
I'm living in a gefilte fish jar.
Look, he can sit right there where he's at. Just put it right behind his head on that shelf.
Two kinds of rub, both spiced and regular.
Yeah, we could just scoot over the parcel.
There's that beside the iMac.
It's all thanks to a company called Elysium Space. And it's a lot cheaper than we would have guessed. Elysium is offering to launch a portion of your cremated remains into low Earth orbit, where they will circle the planet for months or even years before they come crashing fiery through the atmosphere. I think that'd be cool. They'll have the Perseids, the Leonids, and the Tomasiids, right?
Well, because then people make wishes on shooting stars, right? It seems appropriate.
When you wish upon a star. Oh, it's Grandpa's ashes.
Great. I just threw a wish away. I wished it on Tomasi.
I think that was his left finger.
Yeah. So how do they divide you up? They use a credit card. Do you like cocaine?
A portion of your ashes.
A portion of your ashes.
Quarter.
I think it sounds like a great idea, and I'm going for it. The whole package from Elysium costs $19.90, just under $2,000. See, it's like Walmart. We're dropping prices everywhere. That seems minuscule compared to how much it costs to send a living person into space. Space burials, as it's quoted, have been offered for a few years now, but Elysium seems to be the most affordable game in town. So if you ever wanted to go into space, but don't mind waiting until you die, you can get more details at the Elysium site, which is ElysiumSpace.com. Had to look around my glass to see it.
I did see something really cool. Speaking of rockets, and this picture reminded me of this, was it was a SpaceX rocket. Have you seen that? Did I put that in the show notes?
What I'm afraid is they're going to get some junior high school kids with their toy rockets go up about 2,000 feet and then fall down. Well, you didn't make it. Fork over the change, Grandpa.
Well, SpaceX, you know, the company that's been making rockets to privatize a lot of stuff for NASA, they made a rocket and they showed the video of it where it took off vertically, actually went sideways, came back, and landed exactly where it was at, as pretty as you please.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was amazing. I was, at first I was like, okay, I'm going to watch a rocket take off.
Right.
And it went up and it went like a helicopter, went over. came back and just and remained vertical the whole time.
A wow. Vertical takeoff and landing rocket? Was this a toy thing?
No. No, no. This is a full-size test.
Oh, okay.
Was it on purpose?
Yeah.
On purpose.
Yeah, yeah. No.
You're not supposed to do that, but it's cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the purpose is, but yes, it was on purpose. Okay. It was a planned flight plan.
That's even better. Because
they were testing out some technology. But anyway, maybe if they send a rocket to Mars, you know, they can actually land it vertically, and that way you can easily take it back off. I don't know.
And they could pick their landing point too, instead of just, well, here it is.
Yeah. All right, we need to move on. We've got tons more stuff, and we've just covered the news. We're just scratching the surface.
We just scratched the surface. Oh.
Well, hacks and strange stories. Speaking of scratching and picking at scabs, thanks, Lenny. Our first story comes to us from our wonderful editor and co-web guy, Mad Marv. I think he's in the chat room right now. Yes? No? And
maybe so.
He sent us a link, Beethoven's Ninth on 167 theremins. How do you pass up a title like that without thinking Technorama?
They're also the Russian.
Wait.
Dolls.
Yeah, to make it even better. I love reading this. I don't think I need to add much more to this, except I was destined to post this video because of my love for Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. You know the one, right?
Yeah.
Da, 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 da,
Ode to
da,
Joy.
Da. Ode to Joy, right. The final movement of the Ninth Symphony. Coupled with an odd but ultimately harmless obsession with theremins. Now, normally you think of theremins as those, you know, there's a horizontal and a vertical, right? And you go, ooh, yeah. Ooh. 1950s sci-fi movies, yeah. You got it. That
Doctor Who.
Okay. Right. The great thing is all 167 theremins were hidden inside Matryoshka dolls. I think I'm saying that right. Those are those little stackable dolls. They look kind of like acorn squash or something.
That's right.
Okay. Or not acorn squash, butternut squash. Sorry. Well, so they've got, you got to remember, Japan. Okay, that's where all these innovative things come from. So they have 167 people sitting around making small hand gestures at these Russian dolls, and they're going, woo, 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 woo. And then they break out in kind of a boogie-woogie beat and do that piece of... do, 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 do. All right, so there's only one thing left to do, Craig.
And...
because you can buy these for $650 each. There's one thing left to do, and that's go for 168. This Guinness record cannot stand.
Hey, thank you for visiting. By the way, you can exit through the gift shop.
This Guinness record cannot stand. We must go for 168. I'm sure we can get...
it's hardly a Guinness record.
Oh, wow. You don't know any other people doing Beethoven's Ninth on Matryoshka doll theremins?
We got to find 169 theremins.
We're going to blow that record out of the water at 175.
If you're a listener and you have a theremin, come to Dragon Con.
Teach us how to play it.
Yeah.
Ours would be. Yay!
Wait, how do they verify each one was working?
Right. Hmm. And not the ladies sitting there harmlessly going, all their hands were moving in synchronicity, so at least they had that going. That was cool. All right, I had to show Julie this. This is the story we missed last week. The elaborate 12-course meal squeezed into one can. It looks more like sand art, but okay, gone horribly wrong.
You can see the ridges in the can, like with cranberry sauce.
Yeah, or cat food.
I thought it looked like a candle.
It does look... Yeah, that's better. Yeah, put a wick in it.
The third layer has chunks in it.
A core sample. Yeah.
I was about to say, it looked like a core sample.
Yeah. We went drilling through your stomach contents.
We went through the 12 layers desert.
What?
So what they are, the first layer is a selection of local cheeses with sourdough bread.
Yum.
It looks like a jelly.
Pickled Kobe beef with charred strawberry. Ricotta ravioli with a soft egg yolk. Shiitake mushrooms topped with filled peppers. Halibut poached in truffle butter on a coconut crepe. Okay, so individually these wouldn't be bad, but in order to get at them, you would have to slice, you know, through the strata,
yeah,
and make sure you don't get some of your charred strawberry beef into your cheese
with sourdough.
All right, so that might
How
not be too bad.
How did they get the bread in a can? Is never a good idea.
Hey, by the way, Chuck, you sounded like what was her name? Violet Beauregard from Charlie and the Charlie Factory.
In what? When
when you were listening like out all the stuff
French
that was
in there.
French onion soup with fresh thyme and Gruyere cheese.
Ribeye steak with grilled mustard greens. I can taste it now.
Here comes dessert. Here comes dessert.
Crack pie
boy.
With milk ice cream and vanilla tui. French canale with malt, barley, and hazelnut. Oh, they should put beer in there. That's all they
They have so many so many different meats in there.
Because what goes meat in a can? Mm-mm.
And you know, today at work I found a book on the history of spam.
Nothing says loving like meat from a can.
I was walking across, I was going to put this book away, and it was the history of spam, so I was flipping through it.
Spam, wonderful spam. On that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with the Remember When segment. We've got a kid's guide to the internet. Ow, painful to watch, but always fun. How one inventor secretly built a pneumatic subway under New York City, and other pneumatic news coming up right after this. Technorama, the show with a toy prize inside. They're all highly egg-shaped. With me way out on the corner of Geek Street and Nerd Boulevard is my co-host Craig Stapp.
Hey, Chuck, I'm open. Over here.
Go long. Go really, really long. We want to thank Mark Shepard for his donation to the tip jar.
See, I thought he was a dog.
Magnets and electronics don't go together. How right you are.
I did a service call and this woman said her floppy disk wasn't working.
That's enough of these podcasts.
This is Daryl Shando with the Blind Access Journal from Tempe, Arizona, and you are listening to Chuck and Craig on Chuck Chat Technorama.
So that's what the nun said to the priest. Can you believe that?
That's a nun said that. That came out.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not even funny.
You think it was the other way around, but no.
That's not even funny anymore.
I know.
You're going to go to hell.
Wow. Really? Okay.
Oh, we should have come in with the Remember When music. Here. Remember When. There we go. In Remember When, we have a video. Oh, boy. If you want to watch something painful, you've got to watch The Kid's Guide to the Internet. I really want to Misty this thing. It is just prime.
Bad.
It's from, what, I would say the early 90s, maybe mid-90s. And it
has to be like around 96 or so.
It looks like an episode of Elf starting out or something.
Yeah.
It's really cheesy. I mean, they've got
like,
this.
Hi, it's us, the Johnsons, again.
Again, and Julie goes, again? Were we supposed to be watching other episodes? Hey. Previously.
Well, they started talking about the internet and how they've been connected for only a couple of weeks.
Right. And it was a lot of work, but well worth it. You know, thanks, Dad. Everyone had their own tasks. Provider. Mom's apparently a project manager now. And if you look closely, you can see the edge of the set where it disappears into that no ceiling. You can see over the set wall.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a surfboard in the middle of the living room. Oh, no, the surfboard is on the wall. The computer's
the
in the middle of the living
room.
Right.
The you internet. Have space as, for the internet.
Hey, that's where it should be.
And then the neighbors come over without knocking.
They just walk on the
just
set.
Walk in and the kids
they come in.
Yeah, they come in. Like, nobody knocked. There was no doorbell.
And the interaction between the kids always seemed forced.
Oh, it was so stilted. It was
How
bad.
You doing?
Wait, what is a browser?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, that's cool.
For the first 15 minutes of this 30-minute video, they keep saying, well, let's go back to the basics like Dad taught us. No, maybe we should go back to the basics. Let's start with the basics.
Hey, what was that? If there's ever a question about, I'm trying to remember what it was, something technical, and he said, you know, and Dad helped us out. Whenever you had problems with that are too technical. Talk to your parents. I was like, those are the people that usually don't know.
Yeah. They're usually asking the kids, how do I set the time on the VCR?
Yeah, what's a packet, Johnny?
Die.
Yeah. But this is funny. And they showed, of course, how to install in the AOL and all that stuff.
Tim Elliott in the chat room is telling us this is the video that Leo made fun of. He wants to use the music as the theme for this week in Google.
No. Nice.
Which would be appropriate since it's Sergey's birthday.
Yeah.
This week in Google. There is no Google in this. They were always going to Yahooligans for the kids games.
Yeah. Oh.
But
you know one thing that
go ahead.
Wait a minute. One thing that I thought of was, you remember that big fiasco about whitehouse.gov and .com?
Yes.
You remember that?
Very okay. Vaguely.
Well, they said they were talking about how they just guessed on certain names. Well, how do you find websites? Well, some of them are just easy to guess. I'm like, oh no. That's immediately I thought of, no. You don't want to do that.
Listen to everything the boy is saying from this family.
For the first 5-10 minutes, nothing he says discourages you from thinking that he's using the internet to find porn.
Right. And Johnny here can quote all the scores. He knows all the best surfing places in the world.
Right. Hey, he knows all the scores.
Right.
Yeah.
And all the best surfing. And
at the beginning he goes, I hardly want to do anything else or something like that.
Right. All I want to do is be on the internet now.
Good job. I'm sure.
Tim says again, the kids are thinking, there are naked women on there?
Yeah. Odd that he has the little kid has this kind of fascination with the internet since it's in the middle of the living room.
Mom and Dad were just leaving.
Right, yeah. Weren't you? It's hysterical if you take it the right way. Or the wrong way.
The wrong way.
That is funny.
We have another story.
Maybe we have something else to Misty at Dragon Con.
Absolutely. This has to be done. How one inventor secretly built a pneumatic subway under New York City. How do you secretly build anything under New York City?
I don't know.
Yesterday afternoon, Elon Musk revealed his plans for a system that could revolutionize transit. This isn't the first time a private entrepreneur has taken on transportation in America, though. In fact, another wealthy businessman and inventor named Alfred Eli Beach attempted to do the same thing in New York in 1869, except instead of hyperloops, he had pneumatic tubes. Beach was the son of a wealthy owner of the New York Sun, and like his dad, he owned a publication, the then young Scientific American. An inventor at heart, Beach patented all manner of ideas during his life, like a typewriter for the blind, witchcraft, I say, and an improvement to the cable car, and his most famous idea was the pneumatic subway. And while it's novelty fodder for historians today, Beach's idea had considerable traction in its own day. It even competed with the newfangled elevator railway for funds. So there's a beautiful lithograph of Manhattan on here as well. And the story goes on to say how it would have worked and that there was a prototype actually built in another city. So very cool stuff. Julie, you had some comments about this, right? Like it didn't look safe or something.
Like using fan power to as the pressure to move the car along doesn't seem very efficient, especially when the sides are lined with bricks.
Yeah, it would have to be extremely low friction for a fan to work, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And it moves at about a snail's pace. We're getting there.
Well, he said he built it. So did it actually work?
There was a prototype built. Where was it?
I saw the prototype part.
Most
I mean,
like
did it actually
tubes that
function?
Were being used to transport mail in the 1860s, London, New York. In fact, 20 years earlier, British inventor George Medhurst had actually built a prototype of a similar contraption, which he christened, with considerably more flair, the Atmospheric Railway.
Wait, I think I've got a fundamental problem with the whole thing.
Yes.
All right, so you have this tube, right? And I imagine, I don't know the subway system, I imagine there's more than one train on the current subway system they have now, right?
And they're probably not all parallel.
So what happens when one is going and you have to put another one in the tube, the air is going to get blocked back here, and then this one's going to stop.
They don't, yeah, so I suspect they only had one train per tube.
Yeah.
And you probably couldn't intersect with any other tubes or you'd lose all your pressure, right?
Right.
Mm. Yeah, significant problems unless you were just one straight line going back and forth.
Parallel lines. And multiple lines.
Yeah. And talking to what you were saying, Julie, yeah, I don't think it has to actually be run along the bricks as long as it's on a rail where it's easy to push, you know, move.
Yeah.
As long as you get enough air pressure, even though something's going on the side, it's still going to push it. No, it's not like a bank tube, you know.
Funny you should mention that. Because pneumatic tubes are working their way back into the pipeline at the office. You might think that pneumatic tubes...
No pun intended?
Right.
Huh?
You might think pneumatic tubes are an arcane means of pushing letters around buildings, but there's a quiet revolution in the pipeline, which could see them challenging digital communication at least some of the time. I could see these as a better replacement for, like, bicycle couriers between buildings.
Why would you need a bicycle courier? For, like, packages?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Take this letter immediately up to the legal department, six blocks away.
Oh. Yes, ma'am.
New Scientist Jacob Aaron has written a wonderful feature about the rebirth of pneumatic tubes as a communication system. It starts off with a good point about the necessary physicality of the world we inhabit. What?
if you look at the captions people have written on this picture, it says, "This job sucks." No, it blows. Oh boy.
Nerds everywhere can get a restart in the mail room. Or as instead of the email room. Hi, I'm just starting out at this major corporation in the email room.
Hey, Johnny, get this email up to accounting stat. Yeah.
No. And now we use electricity to power the tubes.
What is this sorcery?
Hey, this might be the way to get actual, like, Amazon instant ordering and delivery done.
Have a pneumatic tube just come straight to your house?
From everywhere?
From everywhere. Why not?
Look, I got my can of 12 items in the meal.
Here's your 12 meal. And it gets all scrambled together while it's shaking around in transit.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's funny is when I did see this article, one of the things I did think of is I've been in some buildings that had pneumatic tubes, and you know what they used them for?
What?
Cable runs
for the network. Yeah. They're now cable conduits.
I was like, what is in there? Oh, it's Cat5 coming through there.
Pull out that nasty fiber cable. We're going to send tubes of canned food.
Well, my first thought was, wow, somebody had an easy cable run job on this place. Yeah. And they just run it through the,
Already
all you got to do is talk them into putting the servers down there at the end of the line, and you're good to go.
Did you know we've been lied to as children? Yes, many times by our parents. But one of the biggest lies we've had, I'm changing the topic radically fast, is carrots are good for your eyes.
No, carrots are good for your vision.
Sorry, there is a distinction there. Yes. Did you know?
Well, you should tell that little kid in the internet video, because he's obviously going to go blind on the internet.
Nice tie-in. Mom, I need more carrots.
I can't see and I need to shave my palms. Never mind. Sorry.
So much for our kid-friendly innuendos. You've probably heard the myth that eating lots of carrots will magically improve your vision. The bad news is it's a total lie. The good news? It's the one that helped the Allies defeat the Nazis. Yes, here's the truth. Excuse me. Here's the truth. Carrots are rich in beta-carotene, not David Carradine. Beta-carotene. The guy who played Kung Fu, David Carradine? Okay.
David Carradine,
had to do a sound-alike there. And thus, eating lots of carrots helps promote good eye health. Okay, like that's the muscles and the retina and whatnot. Different entirely from vision. Pumping yourself full of vitamin A doesn't bring you any closer to 20/20 vision than doing push-ups all day. So why would we think carrots help us see better? Here's the answer. Smithsonian Magazine reports the theory of John Stolarczyk, curator of the World Carrot Museum. Yes, there is such a thing, ladies and gentlemen. You've learned something new on Technorama. There is a World Care Museum, and we must go there and interview them. According to Stolarchik, the myth began during World War II when the Nazis were bombing the bejesus out of London at night. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, the British Royal Air Force starts shooting down more Nazi planes. How did they do it? With the help of new radar that the RAF, of course, did not want anyone else to know about. So the Smithsonian explains this. The RAF were able to repel the German fighters as part because of the development of the new secret radar technology, the onboard airborne interception radar, AI, first used by the RAF in 1939. Didn't realize it was that old. Had the ability to pinpoint enemy bombers before they reached the English Channel. But to keep that under wraps, according to Stolarchik's research pulled from the files of the Imperial War Museum.
Different empire.
The Mass Observation Archive and the UK National Archives, the ministry provided another reason for their success. Carrots! When the papers asked how pilots were shooting down the planes in the dark, the RAF simply responded that pilots had been hitting their root veggies hard.
Carrots.
A bold-faced lie, but one that helped save London and the world from Nazi tyranny. That's amazing. We've been lied to all these years because it was a British cover-up for high technology.
To improve your vision, you have to eat radars?
Where was WikiLeaks back then?
Yeah.
You have to eat radars. Imagine no, you put cable. It in the microwave. We're all over the place. All right. Quick personal news. Craig has come up with a cool software tool for all you WordPress people who may or may not want to be podcasters.
Yeah.
Enlighten us in 60 seconds or less. Go.
Well, hold on. I'm going to sit here for 45 seconds.
Yeah.
No, I wrote a plugin. You know, we're doing the dog days of podcasting, which everybody's podcasting once a day for 30 days. Well, I was trying to streamline this, and we were all having some sort of issues with Audio Boo a little bit, and some people didn't like Chuck. He's getting tired of the 3-minute limit, and then other people like myself would lose a show just into the ether. So what I did was I started using this service called Auphonic, Auphonic, and it's a great setup. You set up where you want your stuff to go, what services you're using, and you just upload audio and let it down do that part of the workflow for you. It's really cool. And it kind of takes the place of Levelator and all that kind of stuff. Well, they even have mobile apps, so you can just record and it goes out. Well, I wanted to automate that. I wanted to be able to pull those shows right into my WordPress where they're just ready to go. You know, all I got to do is edit the post and hit publish. I'm good. And that's what I did. I wrote one called Auphonic Importer. I know that's not a fancy name, but and it got accepted into the WordPress plugin database, which I was kind of excited about. So I'll have it up. I guess everything up early this week, and it'll be ready to go. So Chuck's been using it, and I've been using it.
Yeah. Crowd goes wild.
Rocky thing. So what's your experience been with it, Chuck?
Easy to use now that it's working, and just record. And I forgot there's actually a WordPress smartphone app, so I don't even need to, you know, bring up a web browser or anything. I record, I put the production on there. A little while later, it's there. I say, publish it now, or schedule a publish, or whatever. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what I was hoping is when, like, say we're in the Dragon Con, we do a recording, we post it. Yep. As soon as it just shows up, it's all in the mobile phone. We don't have to go run to our rooms to post it.
Yep. I like it.
So yeah, it'll be up there this week officially in the database. And maybe I'll mention it next time we record, and y'all can go grab it if you want to use it.
I like it. And if you want more information about it, contact Craig. All right. I wish I had a sweeper, but unfortunately, Julie's going back to college, so I don't. Otherwise, she'd have her own little bumper here. We're trying a new segment called...
It's Julie.
No, it's Truly Julie.
There you go.
I have What the Chuck, and Craig, I was going to say what? I Craig to differ. And we have Truly Julie. So Truly Julie has purchased something very interesting and dear to our hearts, and I'll let her explain.
Yes. So when my boyfriend Will learned that I was working at Goodwill, he said asked me to keep an eye out for any old gaming systems. Because,
Goodwill, get it? Ha. Your boyfriend ha. Will, Goodwill.
anyway. Because that would be fun to have. Later on, I learned that we don't actually sell gaming systems in the store. We send them to online.
So was he looking for anything in particular, like an old Sega or PlayStation, or didn't care?
He didn't really care. He mentioned a lot of different things, and I don't remember.
We've got our old Radio Shack Pong game.
That's but, way too old for him.
So I started checking online, and I found an Atari 2600 for about $20.
Really?
Yes. With eight game cartridges, including, Centipede and...
E.T.
Pac-Man.
No, not E.T. Did you listen to Tech Stuff and when they rated about Show 500, when they rated the bad games? That was right up there on their list. Anyway, I think it had Adventure and Casino were in the original cartridges, but we're not sure what it's got with it.
It didn't have Adventure, so we're not going to be able to see the Duck
Dragon. We have to go find Adventure.
Like Donkey Kong.
Actually, you know what? You know what? There's a place in town. It's called Joe's Arcade, and they refurbish arcade machines. But they also have, I guess it's been a while since I've been in there, but they had these stands full of Atari cartridges. So if I can swing by there, maybe I can pick up a few for you.
Sweet.
I like games.
She's going to be in the same house. They're going to be sitting there with that one joystick.
Yeah,
it's meant as a gift, but I'm sure going to be playing it.
That's like giving somebody a popcorn popper. How do you not enjoy it with them?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so anyway, that's awesome. So have you gotten it yet?
It's supposed to come on Friday, and I really hope it's on time because I'm leaving really shortly after that.
She's got like a two-day margin here.
Hey, go hit a pawn shop. Sometimes they have old cartridges.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Maybe. Or that secondhand book record store might, too.
They have some weird stuff in there.
I'd start calling
around. Every once in a while I go hit a pawn shop just looking at all the stuff they got, and sometimes they have a box full of cartridges.
Or Craigslist. You know, just sitting there. That's what we could call your segment. Instead of I Craig to differ, we could just call it Craigslist.
Yeah.
It's spelled different, so you won't get any copyright infringement.
Yeah, good. All right.
It's like Flickr with an E.
Yeah, with an E.
Leave off the E's for savings.
That's right.
All right, real quick in the Geek Library, we've got two things. One is, if you want to take a tour of the TARDIS, head over to Google Maps. There's a link in our show notes. You probably might have seen this. Their Street View actually has a blue police box. I forget where it is in London. But if you click on it, it will take you inside the TARDIS, which I think is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I walked all around it as far as I could go.
They didn't have all the way to the pool?
The pool.
No, I did not see the pool.
Just around that main core area?
it was pretty cool that I was moving around. And what was funny was I was outside and I saw it. And I went, how do I get in it? I kept clicking around and finally I figured it out.
Yeah, it's like you can go right, left, or straight ahead, and you got to hit that straight ahead arrow. It's kind of like when you hit an intersection to a street. You've hit the intersection of a universe.
I kept walking by it. It was kind of like I did like this. You know, on Street View.
Right. Street View doesn't quite line up quite right.
Yeah.
And finally, we have 50 high-res pics from artist Sid Mead. He's a techno-future artist that you might recognize some of his work. So you look at this stuff and you go, wow, that looks like some of those concept sketches from Blade Runner or Tron or, you know, some of these other things. It's pretty cool. Some of them are a little bizarre. There was the Playboy Cadillac boat car.
Yacht. Land yacht.
Land yacht. That's what it was.
Hey, look, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So I think the sixth picture in.
Yeah.
Or seventh picture, excuse me. It looks like the DeLorean from Back to the Future.
That's what I thought, too. Like the DeLorean V2 that was never made. Because John DeLorean went to prison.
Yeah, what a jerk.
If he had gone back to the future, he'd know what happened and wouldn't be able to do that. There's a lot of interesting pictures in there. Some are just like, what the heck is that?
But it's all good art, though. That's just the thing.
Oh, it's neat. It's yeah.
To look at.
It is fun to look at. And we will let you look at that on your own clock, because our clock says it's out of time. We've run long on this show and apologize for taking up so much of your time. We will not be doing a show next week because some of us have a 25th anniversary party to celebrate and will be shot by Sunday night, or ought to be shot Sunday night.
One thing real quick. Look.
Oh, the aluminum car carrier. Yes. He's saying, Jeff, I think you got a flat tire here.
Yeah.
Your struts are a little soft. We're going to have to replace them. Unload that aluminum and let's get out of here. I love those. Those are good pictures. So no show next week. The next time you will hear from us will be the live show at Dragon Con. I have no idea if we can stream that or not. Should we try this year?
Historically, internet's been horrible.
Internet has been horrible, and I don't know if we're going to have enough bandwidth on my MiFi. But let me see. We're not going to promise anything, but keep tabs on the Facebook page and the Twitter feed, and we will let you know.
Hey, I would say Twitter probably the easiest thing, but yes, either one will post.
We're at Technorama Podcast, right? Or is it at Technorama? What did we get?
Technorama.
We got at Technorama on Twitter. I forgot about that. Ha ha, take that, you Swiss Science Center.
Yeah, one up on them.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT, 206-222-2428. Some of you may actually know some of our personal numbers. We'd be happy to talk to you there, too. Technorama at chuckchat.com is the email address you want to talk to. Special thanks to Mad Marv for all his great content and the 167 theremins. That's wonderful stuff. Everyone who sent us links during this week, thank you very much. And those of you who joined us on the Hangout, it's been fun in the chat room. Been enjoying reading your comments and snarky remarks and poking fun at us. I think.
Hey, and that's just me.
And maybe this week, Kyle did not. Maybe he watched the whole thing. Did you listen to him last week? He recorded his Dog Days of Podcasting right in the middle of Technorama Live. Crazy, yeah. I tell you.
Madness.
He wasn't even paying attention.
That's why he is the Mad Marv.
He's mad.
Hey, that's all we have for this week. It's been fun talking to you. We will talk to you again at Dragon Con, probably sounding happier and more energetic. Until then, tell a friend about Technorama and give me a binary high five.
101, Julie.
101. 101.
I still can't believe the nun said that.